Page 52 of The Unfolding is the story of Recab Gray.
The shyest kid you would ever meet. I remember as soon as I opened up the scripture and opened my mouth, this incredible amount of peace came over me. I got back to the group and they were just like, you need to stop engineering. Like, this is what you need to be doing.
God's story has been unfolding.
Since the beginning of time.
He invites you to be a part of it.
Another page in the unfolding.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. So when God called Moses, he said, who, me? When he told well along in his years, Zechariah, that he was going to be a father, he was like, are you sure? It's fair to say that there have been many people who have balked at God's call. So how does the shyest, most introverted kid respond to a call to ministry? Well, if you recap Gray, you run far and long. He just couldn't see how God could use him. He was petrified at public speaking. Even just having a conversation with an acquaintance made him sweat. But Recab found one thing is true of God's call. You can run, but you cannot hide. Your mom used to do what?
So yeah, my mom, she used to legitimately force me to call Pizza Hut on Friday nights so I would talk to strangers. Like, I was that quiet and shy. Like, it was so terrifying. She'd be like, you don't call, boy, you don't eat. And sometimes I just wouldn't eat because I just didn't feel like...
It was that terrifying to you?
Yes, absolutely.
So you're introvert to the core.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your backstory, about growing up. What kind of life and faith did you have?
Yeah. So, my family grew up in the South, and my grandmother was the first person to introduce me to Christ at like 4 years old. So I knew it was true at that time, didn't really pay any attention to it. Eventually trust Christ, the literal sermon before my freshman year of high school. And that was just because like I was looking for purpose. I was trying to play ball out in Maryland. And some stuff had changed in terms of scholarships for private schools. And so I ended up going to school I really didn't want to go to. And so it was like, man, if basketball is everything and it makes me feel like this, if it's not working out, I was like, Lord, give me some type of purpose. And in that moment, just in my room, like all I knew was to call out to Jesus because that's my grandma and mom and pops had said. And so I cried out to the Lord. And, you know, I was met immediately with like overwhelming sense of my sin for the first time. But then at the same moment, like an overwhelming sense of forgiveness, like I can't even explain it. So about 2 years after that, being in Maryland, I felt a strong call to ministry. But like I said, I was a really shy dude. So like the idea of ministry didn't make sense to me. How in the world, as this shy dude, like I get nervous, like, you know, two people ask a question like in the car and they're like, what do you think, Recap? And like two of them turn to you. Man, I start sweating, like all of that. So I had no clue how like I was going to speak to two people, let alone 200. And so I went into engineering. And so
do you just kind of said that can't be for me?
I legitimately said, nah, you're going to have to make it happen, and ran away from it. And so.
Wow.
Yeah. So
did you go to college for engineering?
Absolutely.
You were on the path.
So I went to Temple U, Philly, TU, and got my mechanical engineering degree.
Were you torn at all during that time?
Absolutely.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it wasn't like the voice of the call got quiet.
Nah, and I tried to silence it as much as I could.
What did you do to try to silence it?
Books. I always say I ran to books about God to run from God.
And that's interesting.
Yeah. So as much theology as I could pick up just to make it sound like I was a Christian. And I love Jesus, but it was like as I was running from the call, I was also running from him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so books were my way of like kind of keeping me in the circles without actually I never could remember praying at that time because I was just running away from that voice.
Did you share that call? Did you tell anybody about that?
I told two people. I told one of my best friends, Mark, who kind of helped me move into some stuff. And then I told my now wife, Brittany, that that's what I was feeling. And at the time, when I first met her, she wasn't even into Jesus or nothing. So she was all like, well, that means we ain't never getting married. I ain't married no pastor. So it's how not to date. But yeah, I met her in high school in Maryland as well. And we just happened to go to Temple together. And we started getting closer because I shared the faith with her. And she was super curious about it. Got frustrated by it. And almost nightly, man, she would be in tears. And then, and so I'm sharing the gospel. She's crying almost every night, but she would never receive Christ. And so, but it was through that we started telling each other stories, and we just got honestly too close, and we ended up getting intimate, and wrecked me as a believer. And she couldn't understand that, and so that sent us on a roller coaster ride emotions. But by God's grace, a year later, like out of nowhere, it was actually because we kept distance from one another over Christmas break our sophomore year. She came back, and one of the first things she said to me was, "Hey, since you've not been around, I've been actually curious about Jesus, but don't get excited though, because I'm not ready, because, you know, she had family and all of that." And then within 2 weeks, she received the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was crazy because she had gone literally from vocalizing her hatred for God to literally raising her hands in worship, crying out to the Lord and taking communion. So I tell her people every day, I have the story of death to life right next to me every single night that I get to go to bed with. So, yep, that's my boo, Brittany. Love her to death.
Oh, my goodness. You shared it with her. Did she ever bring that up to you?
She did. And that was one of the first things that she started, like, pricking once we got married, was like, "Now, you told me," and we got married during college. So, like, our senior year, this is what was happening. She was just like, "Now, you told me a long time ago this is what your heart was stirring towards, and I know this is true." Ooh. And now she know Jesus, so like I can't even fight back. I got nothing. So she started pressing me, and honestly, I was still fighting back at that time. And then it was honestly, Meredith, it was this moment where I was reading a book about the Holy Trinity, like a textbook for fun. Like, who does that? And so as I was reading that, you know, she's growing in her faith, and she asked me the question, "So how does that enhance your relationship with God? Because I would love to dive into it too." And I came up with some like theological answers for why that was true. But for me, I knew it was a way of running. And so I couldn't sleep that whole night. And the next morning I said, "God, I don't care what you call me to, but I just want to experience intimacy with you from now on." And that morning, man, hours of just intimate time. And that lasted for like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then that voice of that call and that nudging came back. And I was like, "Man, you couldn't give me a month?" But and at that moment, I was like, "All right, Lord, if you're going to make it happen, you got to make it happen." And subsequently, that's what he did. A long string of events happened to the point I got laid off from my engineering job.
So you were doing an engineering job?
Doing an engineering job.
Okay.
Working actually for a naval base that my wife was working for. Got laid off for that, which nobody ever gets laid off from engineering jobs and for the naval base. And it was just a crazy, crazy time. And I was looking for every kind of job. I was a mechanical engineer who had my experience in computer engineering. So no mechanical engineering firm would hire me because they're all like, "You don't have the experience." And no computer engineering firm would hire
me because
I'm not a computer engineer. So it was just crazy and wild.
Did you have a sense when you were laid off and having trouble finding employment? Did you have a sense in your gut what was going on?
Yeah. And it was eating me alive. But at that time, though, that was when I was starting to like revitalize my intimacy with the Lord. Like, I was actually like on my knees in prayer and like experience the actual intimacy of God. And what I would do actually was at my church that I was at in Philly, in the morning, I would apply for jobs. And then in the afternoon, I would spend all my time cleaning up toilets, whatever they needed around the building, picking up trash or whatever.
Were you working for them? Or
so,
were you just serving?
No, just serving. Literally, I'm like, I'm laid off. I'm looking for jobs, spending all my time in the morning applying, finding interviews, whatever. And then in the afternoon, whatever you guys need, I'm here. And it just so happened because that was my rhythm. That year was our first trip to Malawi, Africa. And the day that they needed to turn in their forms for who would be going on this trip, three people dropped out, and they had 12 total. They needed 10 at least, so they were down to 9. So they were just like,
Did they just turn to you and go, "Hey?"
Legitimately, yeah. My mentor, Pastor Larry, he turned to me and said, "Hey, now I know I've been pricking at you because you've been holding back that God's been calling you to ministry."
Had you shared that with Pastor Larry?
So I... sharing is a strong word. He pulled it out of me. So, but he was all like, I don't know if you've been holding back either that God's been calling you to go on this mission trip. And as a matter of fact, like that had been one of the things that me and my wife had prayed about, talked about, but I just shut down as well. And so I called her and she was like, I told you, you need to be on that trip, boy. I told you. So I went to Malawi, Africa with them. And honestly, that was the moment that I knew I needed to go to ministry. I had denied a whole bunch of opportunities and all of that. And while I was out there, God clearly, was calling me to pray at this particular village home of about 10 kids and a mom. And while I was there, I said, man, if this is you, Lord, you'll make it clear later or something. But there's no way I'm gonna stand up in front of like 20 people and pray.
Was
like,
that the introvert in you that was afraid to do that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Like fearful. Like, again, I'm like, even the thought of it was making me like just tense up. So I was like, Lord, if it's you, you'll figure out something. You'll show me that that was like you. And so the next day, you know, we're at this site where there's like, you know, 200 kids or whatever. And we're just hanging out with the kids and just, man, having a great time. And then, you know, they come over to all the pastors and they're like, wait, we need to go to this hut where we need to pray. And they're like, hey, Recap, you can come too. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm going. I'm like, cool, because I'm happy because I get to go with the pastors to pray. And then I walk into that building and it's the mom of that home and the girl. And my face just dropped and all of this emotion stirred up. And again, it was the fear that kept me from doing what the Lord was calling me to. And I had to repent to this mom because I'm like, what's going on? And they tell us that they've checked for malaria and HIV and it's neither one of those things. And because she's had this situation for so long, they're basically telling her to make charity's bed. And I was like devastated. And so I repented to her for not praying. And then I went back to our site where we were standing and I just cried out to the Lord. And again, I repeated those words, Lord, I don't care what you call me to. As long as you'll be with me, I'll do it. So you know what the Lord does. He has a sense of humor. Next day, you know, they came to me and they're like, hey, we want you to speak at this kids soccer tournament. I'm like, cool, kids soccer tournament. I'm thinking like mommy with her little boy in the grass, like get out of the grass, Johnny, like that kind of situation. Yeah. A few parents here and there. And we get to the site and there's literally like 200 men, grown men there. And I'm like, what do they want me to do? Share the faith 101? Like, I have no clue. And then they literally say, hey, so we put this tournament on. This is the first game. The next game is the championship game. And at halftime of the championship game, we're going to gather all the men together and you're going to give a word. So I got like 15 minutes to prepare for some. I'm like, I literally started laughing because I was like, it would be this. Yeah. And because of what had just happened, like there's no running now. So literally I'm just like, Lord, this is hilarious. You would do this, yeah. But God, you got to be with me.
Well, there was no running now. God had been calling Recap for a long time, and finally he was surrendering. And what happened next could only be described as supernatural. Part 2 of Recap's story is coming up, but first, a word from our sponsor, Habib Habib, founder of H Squared Leadership Institute.
So, you know, you've heard me talk about out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means I'm spewing out what's really in my heart. You know, we get frustrated. We get angry about what's happening around us. We want things to be better. So if we dwell on that, it shows up in our conversation. But if we dwell on different things, what comes out of our mouth is better. That's why I appear to be happy, because I work on what's inside my heart. 1 Timothy 4, Paul is encouraging Timothy, do something good. And he says, have nothing to do with godless myths, but train yourself to be godly. You know, we go to the gym to train ourselves. We go to tennis and train and get our tennis game better or our football game better, etc. We can train ourselves to have better thoughts and have better actions. I encourage people to work at their behavior, not just their sports and at their weight, you know. Mm-hmm. At HabibHabib.com, I have motivational minutes and inspirational minutes and talk a lot about these things. And it's just dwelling on the good in the world. There's still a lot of good in the world and it can make us happier.
And now back to Recap Gray's story.
So literally, I'm just like, Lord, this is hilarious. You would do this, yeah. But God, you got to be with me. So I remember preaching Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, for the days are evil. And I remember, like, as soon as I opened up the scripture, I'd never be able to explain it. But as soon as I opened up the scripture and opened my mouth, this incredible amount of peace just came over me. And like, I was able to inflect my voice. Like, I have no, I mean, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, like open air, the shyest kid you would ever meet. I can't even believe what's happening with my voice at that time. And so when we saw men come to Jesus Christ and be discipled in that church, two, the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ brought, and then three, like his church, I got back to the group and they were just like, you need to stop engineering. Like, this is what you need to be doing. That was like, I got back to Philly. And then 2 days later after that, we got a call saying, hey, Charity's fever, totally gone. She's been completely healed. So affirmation upon affirmation upon affirmation. And so I got back. I was like, ministry is what I'm going to do. And now it's just more of like where and how and when. So, yeah, it was something that we needed, too, because our kids were going through and faith became like a crescendo for us. It was something like that. We just consistently like life sucks. Faith, like God was always calling us to this empowering, emboldening faith. Both of my kids were born with like sickle cell disease. And so it was a constant prayer of ours to like work through something like that. Like we were young parents and to kind of deal with that kind of pain on a regular basis, it was like we needed an incredible amount of faith. And at the time that we're dealing with that is at the same time that I'm working through this call. And weirdly enough, like we're living in hey, we living in the hood of Philly, like, like we got some stories where we are living. And so, and yet in the midst of all of that, where we were living, the kids' pain, this crazy call that this shy kid doesn't make sense, joy is in the center of all of it. Me and my wife just experienced an incredible amount of joy.
Transformed not just you, but your family.
Absolutely.
That's so cool.
Absolutely.
Now you're on a journey. You know you're going into ministry.
Yep.
You're just trying to figure out where.
Yep.
And is that basically what you were praying? Show me where to go?
Absolutely. And so I got to the point where I became a church plant resident at my church in Philly, and I was about to plant a church in Southwest Philly, which a lot of folks call like the toilet bowl of Philly. So Philly's grimy as it is. And it was such a joy for us because we were living in West Philly and man, just everything made sense over there for me. I just knew the folks, the language and the rhythm of the city and just love where we were at. And so started building a core team with, you know, Affirmation, our elders and all of that. And it was just a sweet, sweet, sweet time. And then in the middle of that, I go in the summer to a church plant conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, I'm there pretty much alone. And, you know, these three white dudes come up to my table. and they're like, yo, what's up, man? So I'm like, hey, how you doing? Never met these guys before, but they real cool. Like all of them real cool. So we start talking, kicking it up. And what was crazy is one dude named Andy, he starts sharing me the vision for this church that he's about to plant. And I'm like, man, that sounds scary similar to my vision. So he's putting it all on paper and he's all like, well, we want to plant a church in the city, but we want it to be a church for the community and for the campus. And we know that only Christ can bridge these two gaps, this gap. And so he's painting that picture, but he's like, but here's my problem. I don't know how to get on the community side. We have a, you know, we're part of Salt Network. We get on campuses. I don't know how to get into the community. And I'm like, that's crazy because I'm sitting here wanting to plant a church in Southwest Philly where UPenn and Drexel is at. And I'm like, man, I have the same desire. Racial reconciliation, so much of that is across the campus and the community lines. You could have a poor, primarily African-American community right next to an affluent campus. And it's like, man, what is happening here that these two worlds can't collide? Only Christ can solve that problem. So I'm like, Jesus can do this. This was my whole vision for my church plant, but I'm like, it was my problem. I don't know how to get on the campus, but I know how to do this community thing.
Interesting.
So we're literally like, you should picture us, Meredith, like we writing on napkins, like showing like our little places and literally like our diagram looks identical. But we're like question mark on this side for him, question mark on this side for me. And at the very least, we were just like, man, let's just keep in contact and learn from each other from a distance.
We can help each other.
Yes. And so, but there was no way I was thinking about moving. It was like, I got my thing going. And so he invites me to Des Moines. just to hang out. And I'm thinking I'm coming to raise support for, like, I'm planting in a poor area. I'm like, I've done this before. Like, let me go raise some support, right? So I'm trying to raise some support. And it becomes clear by day two, they're trying to hire me.
And they fessed up and told you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm like, nah, yo, like, I can't leave all this. And so.
How far into the church plant process were you?
Had a team, raised a lot of support. We were planning, this was fall of 2016 that I was out here, like September, legitimately. And I we were about to launch in spring of 2017.
Very close.
Yeah. So we was at least about to be sent out to do that in the spring of 2017. And so it was like, nah, ain't no way I could do that. And so, I mean, everything was seeming fine. So he was all like, all right, cool. We'll let you go. But we're going to keep praying. Like, so then they flew out to Philly. And I thought they were just coming to hang out. We had a conference that we put on there, the Frequency Conference. And I was like, okay, this is sweet. Let's do this. Let's come out, hang out with us. Yeah. And then I can show you the place I'm about to plan and y'all get, you know, involved. And they're all like, okay, what we actually see right now is legitimate. You should stay here in Philly. And it was like a turn of hearts and all of that. And they're all like, but we got sent out here by, like, paid to do this. So we at least have to ask the question, what would it take to get you out to Des Moines? And I said, you see all of this that the Lord is doing? If somehow this were to all go away and he shut it down some way by his providence, you'd be the first person I call. And I lie to you not. They went back. They told their staff, hey, we need to stop. And there was one girl, Jessie Blake, who was all like, y'all can stop praying, but I know this is the guy God wants to bring here. So she kept praying. And then
did you have any, you're in Philly, any inkling at that point?
No.
Okay.
I'm like, so for real, I'm like, first of all, I ain't ever even heard of the Midwest. I don't know what Des Moines is. Like, I had to look on a map 3 times to not get it mixed up with Ohio and Idaho, which I knew both of those, didn't know Iowa. And so, you know, I'm starting to like try to figure out, okay, the songs that tell you all the state capitals, I can't still remember Des Moines, Iowa. So no way I was going to go to Des Moines. And then 10 days later, after he said, what will it take? And I said, the Lord will have to shut it down. I got a call from the elders and it was just like, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. And it was incredible reason for it. And all of that all made sense. And the Lord worked through it providentially. I mean, it was all by the grace of God. But it was like literally 10 days later after that statement.
Did you know when you were listening to that phone call and that news, you know Des Moines?
So no, here's what literally happened. I mean, it wasn't even a call. They called me into their office.
Sure.
And then they showed up. Yeah. But I mean, here's what happened. Like, it was literally like, hey, praying about it, talking about it. We're not going to go forward with this right now. Immediately, my mind is like, they've been praying for me. Because it was like, it was so out of the blue because of how far along we were that it was like, this just has to be the hand of the Lord. But I mean, as soon as that happened, it was almost like, I got to call him because I told him I would. And so we talked and he tried to, you know, act sad on the phone. Like, I am so sorry that you can't go forward with it. But meanwhile, you know, you could tell somebody's voice, like, he ain't that sad,
no,
man. So, and then literally a couple of months later, my wife and I take a trip out here in December, and it's her first time being out here. And so I'll never forget being at one of the local coffee shops, and I just asked her, so everything, taking all these things in, what do you believe like the Lord is saying? And she's just like, yeah, I think God's calling us here, but we're going to have to grieve to move on. And we grieved. We cried right there. We cried a lot of tears. I love Philly to death. But it was so clear God's hand was on us moving here. And literally the moment I got here and preached my first message at Cottage Grove, which I'm at now. And it was at that moment, like, you know, how God just really solidifies it, like almost like I had preached so many different places. Right. But it's a difference between being a guest preacher and being able to step in and be a pastor. And from the moment I walked into Cottage Grove, I felt like I was able to pastor this church. Like, we were ready to go. And so I say, like, literally within a span of 6 months, I had the most depressing time in my life move to the most delightful time in my life. Can't even explain that other than the grace of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then we're here now, loving it. The Lord has blessed us. I'm the teaching pastor at the church, and so and the church is growing. So I'm super, super thankful for what the Lord's done.
Tell me this,
yeah.
Mr. Introvert and wouldn't call Pizza Hut. So do you teach every Sunday?
I teach every other Sunday.
Like, do you struggle at all with that fear stuff?
Yeah. The crowds are still like nerve wracking to me, but there's something that God does uniquely when it comes to the opening of his word. I think there's a security there that he brings that I just can't explain. I'm just thankful for, honestly.
Recap and I had a conversation about how there are probably many people who hear his story who feel like God's been calling them to take a leap of faith. And he reflected back to the beginning when they first moved to Des Moines. They didn't know how it was going to turn out. So his word of encouragement is this: fear often comes with the territory, and obedience is not being afraid. It's being more confident in Jesus than you are in yourself. And if you hear Recap preach, oh my goodness, it is so clear that this guy is called to do this. And now Recap is stepping out in faith again. He and his family are part of planting a new church in Orlando, Florida. It's called New Creation Fellowship. Thanks to Recap for sharing his story. Thanks also to our producer, Jason Rakow, and our sponsor, Habib Habib, founder of H Squared Leadership Institute. Find out how he can help unleash the full power of your leadership potential at HabibHabib.com. Hey, we're working on a special episode for the Christmas season of Angel Encounter Stories. Maybe you've heard some of our previous Angels episodes. If you or somebody you know has a real life story of encountering an angel, we'd love to hear about it. Just head to the Unfolding Podcast Facebook page. The Unfolding is produced by Northwestern Media, a ministry of the University of Northwestern, St. Paul. We'll be back next week with another page in the Unfolding.